welcome to The Experience. I am your host, Jeremy Vaney, and this is part two of two with John, who, if you'll recall, last week was wondering if he is perhaps a quote-unquote alien abductee and whether or not he should even explore it if he is. This week's episode is not a continuation of that conversation, although it perhaps contains a nugget of, well, let's say possibility, that informs last week's discussion. If he's not just having normal experiences that he wants to interpret as abnormal, and it's not alien abductions, could this week's episode actually speak to what's going on with him? Or maybe it's alien abductions and they're trying to fix something. What is that something? Well, it's possible that John is not living the life he is meant to lead. What does that mean? We're going to get into it. For non-subscribers, after these messages. For subscribers, let's pick it up with John right where we left off and find out right now.
Ever wonder what the Close Encounter experience is all about? Think you know what it's about? When you open Whitley and Ann Strieber's Immortal Communion Letters, you're going to experience a whole new vision. Not something being told to us by researchers and theorists, but the actual testimony of people who came face to face with this unknown. Unforgettable. And the book is only $3.99 at Strieber.com.
This is Whitley Strieber. You love The Experience just as much as I do, and you listen to it just as much, I'll bet, as I do. And did you know that you can get the whole run of The Experience if you're a subscriber to UnknownCountry.com? That's right. From the first show on, you can download and keep them for yourself, for your own private use. This is copyrighted material, of course. And there's lots and lots more as well. This website is well worth your time and your money. There's nothing like unknowncountry.com in the world. So go to unknowncountry.com right now and subscribe today. Listen to the whole show and download all of this wonderful Jeremy material. It is very special stuff.
Whitley Strieber, one of the great authors of our time. War Day changed the way we think about nuclear war. Communion led millions to realize that they had encountered the visitors. Superstorm gave a word to the world that has become the byword of our time. The Key is among the most prophetic books ever written. And where can you get inside the mind that created all this? On UnknownCountry.com, where Whitley's life stories, his powerful meditations, his books, Communion, Transformation, The Secret School, and others are available in audio format, and so much more exclusive Whitley Strieber material. Join Whitley on the path to tomorrow. How? Subscribe to UnknownCountry.com today.
Well, I've had kind of like this weird parallel life thing happening in my life for 2 decades now, a little over 2 decades, that again is dream material. And I know how you feel about dream material. And honestly, I know how I feel about dream material. But it's one of those situations where personally I looked at it as novelty until something happened. It was in that category of like, oh, that's cute. I have these dreams and they're kind of fun and blah, blah, blah. And then I had a moment where I put two and two together in my life and it kind of was like, oh, that could actually be a thing, but there's no way to prove that. So yeah, that's a whole nother hill of beans. And I'm not sure if you even really want to get into that or not.
Well, like I said before, I mean, the fact that you grew up in an open parental situation and with sci-fi, I actually do think that there's more merit to listening to your dreams because you are somebody who is kind of a dream expert, you know, like you would know the difference between something that feels just purely a dream, a personal dream, something that feels like something out of the collective and maybe something that feels other. Right. I would certainly give you the benefit of that doubt. And you seem like a fairly well thought out person. So,
well, I mean, I try. Yeah. I don't know. I know that I always succeed, but I try.
And you're saying that these are recurring dreams or recurring theme type dreams?
Yeah, they're dreams that I've had since I was around 19. That's the one that I remember at least, where I'm living another life, and the dreams are internally consistent to the point that when I have a dream, the next dream in the series of dreams, I kind of get this weird little download of everything that happened to the other version of me in the time between those two dreams. So,
explain that.
Well, like, so if I have a dream in May, when I have a dream again in August, just kind of picking random dates here, in the dream, I will kind of remember everything that happened between May and August without having, you know, dreamed every single night in between those two points in time.
So that makes sense. Yeah. And are the dreams, sort of slice of life vignettes? So it's as if you're not just dreaming, but you're remembering between the dreams, all of the life of this other version of you. Is that what it is?
The high points. Yes. And by and large, the dreams are excessively boring. I've had a dream where I'm just watching, I'm kind of riding along in the consciousness of another version of me in another life, folding laundry for 2 hours. You know, just like doing laundry for 2 hours. And it's one of the reasons that I'm willing to take the dreams seriously as potentially something, because, you know, if I was going to confabulate a bunch of dreams about how I have another life, wouldn't those dreams that I confabulate be about, you know, me riding around on my gold-plated yacht with a bunch of women in bikinis, right? Like, I would be confabulating some kind of party life. I would not be confabulating a life where I'm bored out of my mind at home doing laundry.
Yeah, or there'd be a lesson for you or something, right?
Yeah, there'd be some kind of takeaway from it. But most of the time when I have these dreams, it's, you know, it's me sitting around the house doing stuff. It's me at my alternate life job. It's me on the phone with a friend. There were only one or two really interesting dreams that I had of that other life. One of which was, and this is going to sound totally bizarre, but I had a dream where I was sitting down. I had one of the alternate life dreams where I'm with a bunch of friends of mine. And in the dream, there are friends that I've had since childhood at the table. And there are friends that I know specifically from this other life, which I've had kind of a minor validation of in recent times that I can get to kind of later. Because this was a guy that I met 4 or 5 years after I had the dream through another friend, that when I met him after like 2 hours of conversation with him and having like the intense deja vu of like, this guy feels really familiar to me and I'm positive that I've met him before, but I don't know it. Like, this is literally the first time that I've ever met him. There's no possible way I could have met him before. And then it hit me when we came to a certain subject matter that like, oh, this was the guy from that dream. And I met him through a friend of another friend that I knew, like an old friend from high school. So conceivably in this other life, he could be somebody that I am closer friends with, depending on how that other life worked out. But in this dream, we're sitting down at a table in a restaurant in California. I'm there on business. I'm meeting with some other friends. And for some reason, we get to the point where we're talking about the old Pee-wee's Playhouse show and how much fun that was for us as kids. And apparently in this other life, I know Paul Rubens, the actor who played Pee-wee Herman, on a somewhat casual basis. And in the other life, the other me has the thought of like, well, Paul Rubens, you know, he gets down about his time as Pee-wee Herman. He thinks nobody really walked away from that with anything, you know, permanent. I know he's kind of depressed mode right now because this was back at a time where he wasn't doing anything, at least not in my waking life. So my dream life goes, okay, let's call him up and invite him out. And this way he'll get to meet some people whose lives he's affected, you know, as fans, people who will be like, you know, able to cheer him up and tell him what he did for them. So, you know, I casually let slip to the table like, hey, I know Paul Rubens. Do you want me to call him? And they're all like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So I call Paul Rubens. He comes and joins us at the restaurant. And we just sit around talking about how great Pee-wee's Playhouse was. And I remembered when I woke up, I remembered the phone number that I had dialed in the dream. And I wrote it down. And I told my wife about it. And she was like, oh my God, you have to call that phone number. And I had this moment of just kind of like abject terror. I think it's in Breakthrough where Whitley Strieber talks about how he had his time slip moment. And he's back in the 1880s or 1890s, I forget what the time period was. And he sees a newspaper go sliding by his feet, and he reaches down to try and pick it up, and then he has this feeling of like ice water running through his veins, that if he picks up that paper, something irrevocably bad is going to happen to him, so he doesn't. And I had that same kind of feeling about making that phone call of like, if you do this, something will break, like something bad will happen, like your life will break.
And
So
now I'm wishing you had. Wait, did you?
I
please go
no,
on.
I never did.
Oh, what?
I never did.
Give
I
me the phone
did.
Number. We'll do it right now, live on the air.
I of course have lost the phone number since, because like I wrote it down on a piece of paper, I tucked it away somewhere, and I will find it, I'm sure, 5 or 6 years from now, when it's appropriate or when I'm ready for it, you know? Like it like I'm of mixed feelings about it, because I had that moment of like, if you call this number, you will break the universe. And I know that sounds really insane and kind of solipsistic, but it was that fear of like, if you do this, nothing will work right afterwards, so don't do it. And I kind of laughed it off to my wife. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's silly. Like, and I tucked the piece of paper away and have since lost it. If I remember correctly, it was a California area code though, from the number that I wrote down. So I had at least that going for it, but you know, who knows how that kind of thing works. So
when you're having these dreams, are you seeing through your eyes, through the eyes of the character? And is it you that you're seeing through? Is it you in another universe, or is it someone else?
It's like me in another universe. And it's not like I'm riding over the shoulder, like a first person shooter kind of game, but I'm like riding around in that person's head. And it's basically another version of me. Like, it doesn't feel any different from me. It's not like in this other life, like I've lost an arm or a leg or, you know,
right,
or have a limp or something like that.
Is that version of you aware of you?
I don't know. And that's one of the few things that keeps me up at night anymore, is wondering if that other version of me is having dreams about me in this life, wondering what the hell's going on with this guy over here. Like, if I've never had any kind of crosstalk with that other version of me. I've never, you know, had a conversation inside my skull with the other version of me. I've always just kind of been riding as a passenger in that me's head.
Okay. And so one thing that you had mentioned is that you wonder if, or it feels as if, this other version of your life might be the version that you should be living now, but aren't. Did I get that right?
Yeah. The way... And again, this kind of goes into the whole, like, you know, is this some kind of really confabulated and elaborate wish fulfillment thing, or is this an actual potential possible alternate life for me? And I have my clues on either side of that. But that said, in this life, I'm making a reasonable living as a writer, which is what me in this life I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be able to, you know, to write, not to be, you know, necessarily a famous writer or be stupid rich, but to be able to make an income living off my writing, which I've had flirtations with over the course of my life and not much success with. So writing has kind of become more of a hobby for me than an actual potential career. But apparently in this other life, I'm making a successful living writing either fiction, and I'm guessing occasionally doing some stuff as scripts for Hollywood, given that occasionally in these dreams I'm working on like a script instead of a book.
But you still have to do your own laundry, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
so life still sucks.
It's, you know, I don't think I'm making a six-figure income in this other life, but I'm definitely a little bit better off than I am in my own waking life. So
how do you put that together with the feeling that if you called this phone number, the universes would break, that how it is now is the way it's supposed to be? Because you don't feel as though it's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, I feel like, well, specifically in my life right now, you know, I'm kind of getting by. I'm not living under a bridge, but I'm doing okay for myself. I could certainly be doing a lot better. And probably if I put a little bit more effort into it and spent a little bit more time trying specifically to find a better job and to, you know, I could probably even push the writing envelope a little bit more and be doing more there. But my life is kind of being pulled in a couple of different directions at the moment. And I'm kind of in this weird phase of I'm just going to kind of float for a bit and see what happens, because things could go wonky in a couple of different directions between, you know, my mother's health and other family issues and employment issues and a couple of other things. So I'm kind of floating at the moment, which I'm sure contributes to an overall feeling of my life could be better, that could be translating into, well, let's take my hindbrain and calculate what could be a better life for me and show that to me in dreams. But I haven't always been in this place. I was doing pretty good for myself up to a few years ago, and didn't really have that feeling of, like, I didn't have a feeling of envy or wishfulness toward the other life until recently, when kind of my fortunes took a turn for the worse. So I don't know how objective that makes me in terms of talking about an alternate reality life of myself and whether or not that is what I'm trying to seek to pull this life into.
Does it feel as though your life is sort of out of your control, but setting you up in a way to make a choice to become this other person?
It does feel like it's setting me up, but it doesn't feel like it's necessarily trying to wrest control from me. It's more like, it's more like somebody's putting something in front of me saying, here's a thing that you could get if you want to go for it. And I know you want to go for it, but, you know, I'm not going to make you go for it. It's just, you know, hey, look at this over here. Here's the thing. Do you want it? It's right here. You could get it. You know, it's kind of like temptation and titillation, really, more than anything else, in terms of a drive being presented to me from that other life.
But if that were true, then the thing that you would be getting is that you would presumably become a writer and make money doing writing, but you wouldn't become this other person who all of a sudden knows Paul Rubens is better friends with these other people
stuff. I don't have any feeling that, you know, I would just kind of magically be transported into that other life.
So you don't necessarily think this is another timeline, I guess is what I'm getting at, or do you?
We'll be back after this.
The Afterlife Revolution is getting great reviews. There's a tremendous, lovely response to it, and I'm so pleased and humbled, because it's an effort on the part of myself and Anne. And I love Anne so much. I want her to succeed in this incredible task that she has undertaken of returning and communicating across the bridge between the worlds. And she's really doing it. This is a real thing that's happening. Listen to some of these reviews. Anne and Whitley Strieber lay out their life's work in the most exquisitely beautiful manner. This moving book comes from the heart, the unified heart of two people who have dedicated their lives in this realm and the next to revealing the nature of consciousness as it makes its sojourn in this human form. That's just one. Here's another. I love, love this book. It's a wonderful read, especially if you lost somebody very close to you. Just incredible. Here's another one. The book shows you how to grow your soul, for lack of a better term. Through Anne's insight, Whitley shares invaluable information that could only be from the other side. So take it seriously. Go to Amazon and get Afterlife Revolution. Go on to Amazon and get the Afterlife Revolution in paperback or in Kindle format. And if you have questions or thoughts, write me at whitley@striever.com. I'm right here. I'm ready to answer anything you ask to help you in any way I can, always.
Visit unknowncountry.com every day to get the latest news from the edge and open your mind to the high strangeness of the out there section of the website. You can follow us on Twitter simply by following Whitley Strieber, and all the latest material will be pushed to your Twitter feed. Plus, you can subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and get the latest delivered right to your inbox. UnknownCountry.com is the biggest and most popular website of its kind in the world because it has so much to offer. Open your mind. Dare the edge. Subscribers to UnknownCountry.com get so much more. A new special interview every week. Commercial-free dreamland. Above all, access to our vast archive that includes many of Whitley Strieber's most famous books in audio form. Communion, Transformation, Majestic, Superstorm, and there's even more. The Dreamland Archive goes back 10 years. It's a treasure trove of unusual information, literally unparalleled in the world, and can offer you hours and hours of truly mind-opening listening pleasure. Go to unknowncountry.com and click on the subscribe tab today. Join us. We need you, and you need us.
Welcome back.
What I'm seeing in my dreams could potentially be another timeline, given all of the various different theories of how, the many worlds interpretation and all that such works. Potentially, that could be the me that made a different choice of where to go to college based on a couple of different personal and interpersonal relationships at the time. And I think that in this life, my awake life, I made one choice. And in the other life, I made a different choice and ended up in a different place with different people.
Do you get the sense that other you is happier than you?
I don't get the sense that the other me is happier than me. I think he's happy. You know, like I don't get the sense that the other me is like suicidal and depressed or anything like that. But I don't get the sense that the other me is, you know, kicking back in his easy chair every night going like, haha, how great I have it.
So couldn't the message be, in some sense, this is, you know, you did get what you wanted. It's just not in this life, but in this parallel world, you got what you wanted and you're not any better off for it. So maybe life isn't about that.
Yeah, that could very well be the message that I'm trying to get, or that it's trying to show me. I still haven't quite parsed out what it means, because I started having the dreams when I was around 19, about 2 decades ago, and they were never really, you know, they were always kind of like a novelty. It was kind of like, oh, here's another version of me living a different life. That's kind of cool. And then I realized that they started having some kind of internal consistency to them where, you know, in one dream I was about to buy a car. And then in the next dream that I had a couple months later, you know, I had the car and I was just driving it. And it was just, you know, this matter of fact thing. And it wasn't, you know, like I went and bought like a Maserati. I think I bought like a Honda or something, like an Accord. In that other life, it was one of those kind of like serviceable sedans. And so, you know, it wasn't ever this sense of like me looking at this other life going, oh, if only I could have that. It was always more me looking at this other life and going, oh, huh, that's kind of neat. And then when my own kind of personal misfortunes started stacking up a couple of years back, that's when I started having a ramp up in these dreams. I used to have them every, you know, couple of months. Like I'd have two or three a year and I would wake up going like, oh, well, that's neat. You know, I'm still doing okay in that life. Go about my life and kind of forget about it. With the exception of the Paul Rubens dream, that was kind of a, that was an eye opener. After I had this accident with the ladder, I started having dreams probably two or three times a week. I was almost being assaulted by them. And so I had the sense of like, okay, somebody's trying to tell me something. There's something here that I'm missing and I don't know what it is. And it wasn't until a couple months later when I realized, just kind of out of the blue, that in the other life I had made what appears to be a significant decision in terms of my social life at a much earlier age and with a much different person. So I ended up in a much different place. And without getting into like weird specifics, because I don't want to like name people or anything, because some of it gets a little bit personal. But essentially that I ended up living a life with different people than I did in this life. And from what I know of the different people that in the other life, I lived that life with, they're very much the same people in this life. Because one of the people who's in my social circle in the other life is somebody who ended up being much closer to me in this. The other way around. One of the people in the other life is a good friend of mine, but ended up being much closer to me in terms of geography in the other life. So that person's friends became part of my circle of friends. And so when I recently was hanging out with this person in my life at one of their parties and met another person in this life that I like am 99% sure is the guy from that weird Paul Rubens dream that I had 5, 6, 7 years ago, that's kind of when I went like, oh, this is like, this could be what happened. It could be that instead of going A back then in college, I went B and ended up over here and kind of absorbed this person's circle of friends and was part of that group instead of having gone over here and ending up as a part of this group instead. Because I've noticed that in my dreams, none of the people that I met in college or the people that I've met since college ever show up in my circle of friends. So it's kind of a tangential proof to me, or you know, something approaching proof to me that this could be what happened.
Okay. Do you get deja vu in this life about these things?
Occasionally, like that one time where I met the guy who is a friend of a friend in person in this life was really the strongest point where that happened. Where I got deja vu, because like I said, it took me a good 2 hours of conversation with the guy before I finally realized like, oh, that's where I know you from. I know you're from this weird other life that I'm, you know, and I didn't mention that at all in conversation, but I had to kind of, I was, you know, in the middle of this party and I had that realization and I kind of had to excuse myself from the conversation and go into the bathroom and just kind of breathe for a couple of minutes because it was, you know, it was that kind of Keanu Reeves whoa moment of like my reality just shifted a little bit and I got to process this. So it was definitely a big enough kind of tell that it did that to me. But beyond that, you know, it's more kind of like weird little coincidental things that crop up.
And how are you with just the normal everyday crap that's going on in your life with your mom and with your job and all that stuff? I mean, where are you mentally? Are you completely depressed about that? Are you suicidal? Are you handling it okay?
No. I would like, it does depress me from time to time. And when I mention that, I usually will call up a friend or talk to a friend and say, you know, hey, I'm a little depressed about this. And everybody in my social circle immediately jumps to, don't throw yourself under a truck, like stay there, I'm coming over. And I have to explain like, no, I'm not like suicidal depressed. I'm just a little sad. Like, you know, sometimes you get sad about life,
right?
And you know, it's not a cause to end your life. So I would say that it's fair to describe me as a little bit depressed at this point in my life, but I don't know that I would go so far as to call it clinically depressed, where I need to be, you know, treated and or medicated for it. But I'm, you know, I'm definitely not anywhere near suicidal. It's just kind of more of a, oh, geez, I wish things could be better.
Right. And when you first started believing that you were possibly an abductee, when you first started waking up to this potential, compare how you felt then to this. Like, were you more, I don't know, what did you feel? Depressed, scared, okay with it?
the abduction stuff more kind of scared me. It alternately scared me and fascinated me. When I was on the phone with my friend watching Communion and he said that comment about the stormtroopers, my initial reaction was kind of like this shock and fear of like, oh no, I could be an abductee. And since then it kind of wavers on fascination and kind of like an outright warmth towards the idea or acceptance towards the idea. And then, you know, I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning because I've heard some kind of strange noise in my room and it goes straight to fear. Because the first thing that I think of waking up at night under those conditions is like, oh, they're finally here. It's come, you know, it's going to happen. And of course it doesn't. And it's just me being panicky and overreacting and having a fear reaction. But I've never had any kind of fear reaction like that when it comes to – okay, I take that back. When it comes to the alternate life stuff, there was one time where I had a fear reaction, and that was when I had the meditative experience where I felt like I was approached by a presence, because I was having that meditative experience while basically around the same time that I had the realization of like, oh, this is – you know, this dream life could be life B because – I met the guy at the party and you know, everything is kind of lining up now. So when I was meditating, I was thinking about that other life and thinking about, wouldn't it be cool to be able to just experience that, to pop over there for just a little bit and get a better sense of the lay of the land instead of just riding around in somebody's head and being, you know, kind of a passive passenger in that. And as I was musing on that was when I felt the presence approach me. And the presence basically told me, like, you can do that. I can put you in that timeline. But there are consequences. And I, you know, in my meditation said, what are the consequences? And the presence said, this entire timeline will be obliterated. Like, it's gone. Never happened. And I had that kind of, like, wide-eyed moment where I sat bolt upright, shocked myself out of the meditation, was like, no, I don't want that. Like, in no uncertain terms do I want that to happen, because I don't want to be responsible for blowing up a timeline. That's stupid. So I had – that was like the only real moment of fear that I had in relation to this other timeline or alternate life that I have – that I see in my dreams.
Well, what about just the fear when you're thinking about your mom and your job and all that, is that a different quality of fear?
Yeah, it's less fear and more, you know, disappointment and dismay. I don't want to say that I'm okay with death, but I don't have a lot of the same fear of death that people I know do. Because quite honestly, I have fairly good proof that there is an afterlife. So I'm not worried about, like, if my mom dies, never seeing her again, because I know that I will see my mom, and my mom has promised that she will come back and haunt me when she does kick off. So, you know, I'm not terribly worried about that. I've had the experience where a friend of my wife's died. She was really broken up about it. And it was also kind of a friend of mine too that I had met through my wife, and I wasn't anywhere near as broken up about it. And she was like, "How are you taking this so well?" And I'm like, death is not that effective to me. Like, I don't want to make light of it. I don't want to downplay any kind of emotion that you might be feeling, but I know that I'm going to see that person again. So I'm not, you know, this isn't a loss for me. This is a see you later. So when it comes to my life situation and, you know, my family's health issues and stuff like that, I guess I take a bit of a more of a philosophical long view of it. I don't really see it in terms of fear. Like, I certainly will be unhappy when my mom passes, and I probably won't like it, and I will probably not be anywhere near as sanguine about the idea as I am right now, but I don't think it's going to be something that's just going to utterly crush me and, you know, send my life in a tailspin or anything like that. So it's more an idea of, here's a potential sadness that I have to look forward to, than it is an idea of fear or negativity, I guess.
Okay, and you're,
that
you're,
something could happen.
You're fairly certain that it feels, at least, as though the decision is about blowing up the timeline or essentially erasing us all, as opposed to simply switching your perspective over to that other person and then being blissfully unaware of this timeline.
Yeah, no, the choice that was presented to me was go over here, and the consequence of going over here is where you are now goes away, never existed, boop, gone, pops like a bubble. And the
so
idea
I die. Of I have to not exist in order for you to become a writer? Is that what you're telling me? All right, non-subscribers, that jingle means our time is up. You can click that subscribe tab, and you can get this entire episode commercial-free. And I have a bit of a thing that I say toward the end that might be kind of interesting to a lot of you. Or all of you. Most of you. Some of you? Probably all of you. Anyway, click that subscribe tab. Get this and all of the Experience episodes, as well as Dreamland, and commercial-free, and in their entirety, and everything else that Whitley has on tap for subscribers, which is a lot. It's years and years and years of stuff. So do us all a favor and purchase yourself a month. Why not? And if you're into the deep spirituality stuff, not the airy-fairy stuff, not the, well, is it or isn't it, but really into, okay, what does it mean to be whole? What is wholeness? And why aren't we that? Why do we define human nature as, well, we all make mistakes, and yet we idealize these people that we call perfect or whole or whatever word you want to use? Why do we do that? Why do we put them outside ourselves? How do we be those people? Why aren't we those people? If these are the types of questions that interest you on a deep level, not the level of I want to add these on to myself and go through life as I am, but with superpowers or with super knowledge. No, actually be radically transformed. If that's what you are thirsting for, a radical transformation, please do consider ourundoing.com. Got a lot of stuff bubbling there. A lot of stuff, a lot of output right now, and some amazing things coming soon. So go check it out. And either way, see you next week here on The Experience. Thank you, John, for coming on and for doing this and for having even this episode, which was supposed to be a personal chat between you and I, be a public one. Much appreciated. And as non-subscribers, your listenership is appreciated. So thank you, too. Until next week, take care, everybody.